It's the Thursday Movie Review. I'm Geoff Hopkins, joined by the film critic Mark Searby to take a look at some of the week's new film releases, including a war drama directed by Mel Gibson and a new kids animation from the people behind the Minions. Mark Searby, how has your week been?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks, Geoff. Pretty good.
We're looking at the new films around over the weekend. Let's start with a new animation from the Minions people. It looks like the animals are going a little bit pop idol. Tell me about Sing.
It's a story about a theatre impresario called Buster Moon who creates a singing contest for all the humanoid animals in the city to enter. Now, I don't want to be negative about a film that's written and directed by somebody from East Anglia. Gareth Jennings has, you know, he's made his way across the pond because he had a surprise breakout hit with Son of Rambo back in 2007, which I loved, but this is a bit of a turkey, to be honest with you, which is ironic because there's actual turkeys in the film. The story is basically how reality singing shows like The X Factor came to be made, which I think in 2017 is out of date because, you know, these shows seem to be on the wane. You know, their popularity is not what it was. The characters obviously may be animals rather than humans, but they're not cute and cuddly versions. Instead, they're just like standard CG animated, much like you'd see on any kids animated TV show. And the same can be said for the story as well. Buster Moon, you know, he's the central character, but there's so many other animals lumped in with their own stories that revolve around the singing contest that it becomes too much. I kind of think also that Gareth Jennings has also missed a trick by not having animals sing songs that relate to their species, kind of like little in-jokes. It happens once with a bunch of frogs singing the Pointer Sisters Jump and then nothing else. And therein, I think, is the problem with the entire film is that all the songs are too old for most kids to know. I mean, surely pick some up-to-date songs. I mean, there's one point where there's an animal playing Acker Bilk's Stranger on the Shore on his saxophone. What child knows that song, really? And this is the problem. It's just made up of entirely out-of-date references, which begs the question, why make it if you're not going to keep it modern? I just think it's a terrible film.
Okay, so it's more Honey G than Leona Lewis, would you say?
That's a good reference. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Okay, at cinemas now, Sing. Your second film of the week, a wartime drama, Twitter chained attacked here, wartime drama directed by Mel Gibson, features, I think I'm right in saying, an actor who appeared in another recent film that we reviewed just a couple of weeks ago. So tell me about Hacksaw Ridge.
It's based on the true story of World War II American Army medic Desmond Doss, who renounced killing during the Battle of Okinawa and became the first man in American history to receive the Medal of Honor without firing a single shot. Now, I think most people will probably know Stanley Kubrick's war film Full Metal Jacket and how that's split into two stories, one in the training camp and then in the field. Well, Mel Gibson's Hacksaw Ridge follows that same path. The first half of the film introduces us to Doss and, you know, him wanting to join the army. He's not that intelligent, maybe one step up from Forrest Gump, but he knows he wants to serve his country. However, when he refuses to pick up a gun, then those in charge and his squad take against him, and he takes a few beatings and a lot of digs at his character as well, but he just keeps going through it all, and he shows that he isn't afraid and will stand tall even without a rifle. Then, with an hour left in the film, Doss's platoon arrive at the cliff face and the sergeant shouts, "Welcome to Hacksaw Ridge, boys." And from then on, it's a complete bloodbath. It's nasty. It's relentless. It's horrible. It's squeamish. It's heartbreaking. It's astounding. Nothing is off limits. And there's bullets screaming through the foggy area. It's a complete assault, visually and audibly. I mean, I lost count of the number of times I swore because of its intensity. The film, to its credit, never loses focus on Doss's story, though, and he's running around saving lives while all of this is breaking loose all the way around him, and he just keeps saying to himself, "Just got to get one more." And you really emphasise with the guy, you want him to do that. It is directed by Mel Gibson, who I think is a competent director. You know, you look at his previous films, The Passion of the Christ and Apocalypto, and I think with Hacksaw Ridge, he's confirmed where his skills now lie, which is behind the camera. Hacksaw Ridge, I honestly think, is better than Saving Private Ryan and is on par with Full Metal Jacket. It is an outstanding anti-war war film that showcases a true act of bravery. And I think it's filmmaking at its best and most unrelenting.
Okay, then, new at cinemas this week, Mel Gibson's wartime epic, Hacksaw Ridge. A final mention for a film, it's in cinemas and on demand this weekend. We've got another biographical drama, Christine. What's this then?
It's not a reboot of the Stephen King story of a demonic car, before anybody starts thinking that. It is a story of somebody who struggles with her own demons, though. It's a true story based on a newswoman called Christine Chubbuck, who took her own life live on air. I'm going to be honest here, this is not a pleasant watch. Christine is a rather unpleasant person, and her mood swings are quite vicious at times. She's so offhand, and at times just downright nasty to even those closest to her, and it's very difficult to care for her at any stage in the film. But however much discomfort you feel watching Christine sort of bark her way through the film, there is a sense of sadness, because we understand what she's going through thanks to obviously modern day science and opening up discussions about mental health and depression. But back then, it was never widely recognised, and I think people just thought that Christine was a bit of a loon, and it was only on that fateful night when she took her own life that those closest to her began to realise that they knew nothing about her. In the lead role as Christine is Rebecca Hall, and it's a very astute performance from her, very cold, rather emotionally draining, and to have a lead character be that far removed and it still be a very moving portrayal is excellent acting. It's a very low-key performance as well. And I think the film as a whole paints a picture of a struggling news person who, away from work, is just racked with bad thoughts. And there's a line in the film where it says, "If it bleeds, it leads." And while that's a horrible mindset, it's the only way the TV station could bring in viewers. And this, in turn, obviously affects Christine, and she becomes more depressed thinking about it. It's a very captivating but downbeat film.
Okay, Christine in cinemas and on demand now. It's the Thursday Movie Review. This is Geoff Hopkins. We're looking at the films worth your time over the next few days, joined as ever by the film critic and broadcaster Mark Searby. Now, Mark, we've done the cinema releases. Now looking at the small screen movies. We always start this bit with a DVD. So what have you picked out for us this week?
Well, I've picked out a horror film. It's a really good week for horror. We've got Under the Shadow on DVD. You've got Blair Witch on DVD. However, I've chosen The Girl with All the Gifts. It's a story about a scientist and a teacher living in a dystopian future who embark on a journey of survival with a special young girl called Melanie. It's a British film, and I think it's got all of the hallmarks of being an underrated B-movie that have served the horror genre so well. It's got all the usual tropes of a zombie movie, you know, virus outbreak, running zombies, very few humans remaining. But if you're going to use the cliches of a sub-horror genre, then use them to good effect. And that's what happens in The Girl with All the Gifts. And then some as well. It's smart movie making that takes those elements and not so much dials them up a notch, but adds an extra twist, which I'm not going to spoil because it's a very good twist in it as well. There's a lot of walking and talking throughout and very little bloodshed or zombie gore going on. So instead, the film relies on a storyline that needs versatile actors, and the film has that in British actors Gemma Arterton and Paddy Considine as the teacher and a specialist soldier, respectively, who are completely at odds with what the group should be doing in order to survive. Then there's a very low-key yet commanding performance from Glenn Close, and she's excellent. She's absolutely fantastic. So for any fans of George Romero's zombie films, you'll see how much this has borrowed from the first Dead trilogy. There's also a similar style to 28 Days Later, especially like the empty streets of London. And I was amazed to find that this was made for just $4 million because it looks like a mega budget horror film. This is going to be one of those underrated horror films that, for those who have seen it, will sing its praises for years to come.
The Girl with All the Gifts, bit of British horror with zombies and all sorts, by the sound of it, on DVD this week, worth a look. And that pretty much wraps up the Thursday Movie Review. If you want more, go online, find us on Audioboom, check out the archive. Mark, have yourself a good weekend, won't you?
I will do, you too.
And we'll catch you next time.